I'm sitting here today with Daniel Rachamim in Jerusalem, Israel, in his beautiful, beautiful rooftop penthouse apartment. Hi, Daniel. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Did I say your last name right? Rachamim?
Rachamim.
Rachamim. Ah, the M at the end.
Yeah,
okay.
Mercy.
I wrote that down. So, fascinating. So, Daniel's a photographer, self-taught, and you're currently living in Brussels, correct?
Half Brussels, half Jerusalem.
Ah, beautiful. And you have a show coming up May 23rd at the 84 Gallery.
Yes.
Correct? Is this your first exhibition, solo exhibition?
It's my first solo exhibition about my work. I've shown already before, but it was work that I did for others.
Yeah.
I've shown it in the municipality of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I had something that I took photos for them during the corona, and they wanted to show it for about half a year in the municipality itself. So they showed that, and they showed other things that I took photos. Other artists showed stuff that I did, but for them. This one would be my photos that I did of streets, of street photography that I love, which is my passion. So it's the first time for that, yes.
So you're born and raised in Israel, correct?
Born and raised in Israel, in Jerusalem. A Jerusalem boy.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, actually starting with your last name, which is amazing. Rachamim.
Daniel Rachamim is actually not my last name.
Okay.
It's my first name. I have two first names. It's Daniel and Rachamim.
Okay.
My last name is Aloni. Which I took out basically because I didn't feel connected to it. It was a change of a family name that my father wanted to do, basically because I come from an ultra-Orthodox family, and he wanted to send me to special schools that have to do with Ashkenaz, basically, and Aloni is an Ashkenaz name. So he said, hey, let's do Aloni for our last name. And so I had that as a last name and actually managed to get into a good schools for Ashkenaz. Wow. That's the truth. But for me, it was not real. I love that first, the name, the Rachamim is the name of my grandfather from the Turkish side. My father is Turkish. So, and Daniel is the name that my mom wanted to give me. So I love these two names, so I'm keeping that for my artist world, and this is what I'm feeling most connected to, basically.
How many siblings do you have?
Two younger brothers and one older sister.
Are they artists as well?
No, my sister is a teacher, and the younger brothers are both one lawyer and one is an engineer. Yeah.
So, since you were a kid, were you an artist, a creative?
I always I loved creating, like to do things. It was always interesting to me to look at the world in kind of like my own view. I don't know, maybe each one has their own view as well, but for me, it was always to see different situations in the street, always. It's just, I love walking the streets. Anywhere I would be in the world, it doesn't matter. I can spend hours upon hours walking. And slowly it became walking with my camera. Because that's the place where I said, oh, I could have captured that moment, you know?
When did you start photographing?
There was no real age. I started a long time ago as an amateur, really. I started a very long time ago just taking photos wherever I go, whenever I can, as I travel, as I do, mostly for that. Mm. At that time, I was doing all kinds of different work. I had shops, I had a restaurant, I was working there. I did a lot of different things, basically, to make money. But my passion was always that. I was always afraid to become a professional, really, because it's a scary world, the artist world. It's a very scary world.
Yeah.
And I never thought I could do it. But one time, it was at a certain point where I decided to give it a shot in a way. I don't know how to explain it, but I was requested to take a photo for someone, a friend, and I did it, and they loved it. And from then on, I said, oh, maybe that's possible. So at that point, I started taking professional photos. Well, I didn't believe it was professional for me. I was like, oh, I'm just doing it for friends in a way, but they loved it. At that point, I also started taking like more specific courses for photos, just to see, maybe to be a bit more precise.
Yeah.
To see what I like or not. So I went to a college and I learned as I was working with the stores that I had, which was a toy store and an office appliance store. I was doing everything like parallel, basically, never believing I will become this photographer that will be. But slowly I started to gain, trust in myself, basically.
So tell me, why back then did you not think, oh, I want to go to school to get my master's?
Because I was always a rebel.
Yeah.
I never wanted anyone to tell me what to do. And for me to go to school was to hear. Now, I'm not against information, really. I love information, but I love to get it in my way. So actually, if you look back, my profession that I did go to school for was to do like network engineering. So I built networks for hotels and stuff like that. That was the start of my 20s. That was good money.
Yeah.
I was always looking to make good money in a way.
Yeah.
Back then, you want money to enjoy life, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I make money and I spend it, make money and I spend it. But even that was like specific, very specific. I know I need to learn that so I can get work in certain place. And then it became work that it was part of me as a business. But I also, you know, I love arts. So I also went to university a bit after to learn cinema because I love that. That's part of loving photography as well.
Right.
And I remember I was angry at the teacher that she was saying stuff about Steven Spielberg. Like, oh, I believe that Steven Spielberg was saying this and that in this movie when he tried that. And I was looking and said, oh, are you just saying your opinion? It's
right.
I don't agree with it.
Right, right.
It's just some sort of opinion. That was, I was really angry. I don't know why. I was always angry at teachers ever since I was in kindergarten. Like, why are you teaching me that? I know that already. Why do you think that?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a stubbornness.
Yeah.
I've been through. It's my life.
Well, you had a vision at a very young age, right? You knew what you wanted to
I
see.
I think I had. I think I was really self-aware at a very, very early age. Yes.
Yeah.
Looking, you know, when I was in the Orthodox world and I was always looking from the side at them. When I was 10 years old or 9 years old, looking at them praying. Now, I accept their prayers, but for me, it was different. I was saying, like, look at them. They were just cursing a day before, and they were talking not nicely, and now they're praying. I was saying that to myself as a child. I was like, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
I want to be real for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So for every artist, and you've mentioned a little bit about it, We have our crafts which we love, like your show that's coming up. This is the love that you're showing. So over the years, you've been hired as a photographer, like weddings.
Yes,
or tell me about that.
It started like that, actually. It started as small work here, small work there, and then a friend of mine, a good friend, said, "Oh, you know, my parents, my father is getting remarried. Hey, how about you taking a photo?" And I was like, oh, okay, I will do it, I think. You know, and it was actually in my mind, like, should you? It's a big responsibility. You're going to do it or not? I don't know. Maybe you should. But something in me said, yeah, of course, no problem. And then then I had fears, like, what am I going to do? Is it going to be okay? Is it okay or not? Or no? Oh, yes or not? So I knew what I need to do, but I was scared about the results. So I went to the place that the wedding will be. It wasn't a big, huge wedding. It was in a restaurant outside, and the light was so bad over there. It was like lights of the street, like orange. And I was like, okay, I know that's bad. I need to control it. So I went out and I bought flashes, and I bought stuff that I needed. I had a flash at that point, and I knew what I need. I needed, but I bought everything and I started going to that place every day. Every day until I knew. I came with a friend and I trained on him, you know, like, let's see how this is, let's see how that is, let's see how this, how that, or this, or that. And it happened. And suddenly I said, oh, okay, that's not bad. I can continue. And then somehow it just started. Just somehow it bloomed from there. Like, and people started taking me, and I started working for people in Jerusalem, and then from Israel. It was nice.
In 2019, I came to Israel, participated in the Jerusalem Biennale.
Yeah.
And I was at the Great Synagogue, right?
Yes, yes.
And I was in a sukkah. It was like a glass all sukkah. Remember?
Yeah,
it was
remember
like
that.
Art installation. Yes, yes. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I'm supposed to go in. And there was a group of people talking. They seemed really cool. And Daniel was one of them, but I didn't know you then. And so I stepped in, and then you came to talk to me, and I thought, oh, he's probably security or something. And I was like, I got really embarrassed. And then you just
cousin big. I know. I look like security. I'm like, hey, what's up?
I don't know nothing. I'm an American.
What are you doing here? Get out of here. Yeah. Let me take photos.
which is amazing. Yeah. And then years later, I'm living in Israel, and we have a mutual friend, and I forgot how we started. Oh, I told you why I came here, and you said,
yes,
oh,
I remember
right,
you.
It's you.
Yeah, yeah, that's you from the sukkah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time that time. I took photos for 1 month, like, for all the artists. When you met me then, already I was already with my confidence, you know, that's it, I'm taking photos, and I'm enjoying it. That's it. At that time, I was already a full-time photographer, basically. I was doing photos for the Biennale and for the artists and for everything. Suddenly, it was good time. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was like not believing it even. Like, oh, what's going on? Oh, it's happening. And I'm doing something that I really love, but it's my work also. Like, wow. Yeah.
So today, like, the more you become, I don't want to say a great artist, but, you know, the more that you become more founded as an artist, that's probably a better way of saying it. Are you going to start turning down jobs?
Not turning down, just taking the price I think I'm worth, basically. And that's it. So I'm not going to, you know, unless someone tells me, oh, I'm, you know, I have a bit of a soft heart in some way. So if they like start like, please, but I need, maybe, you know, but generally I know what the prices I want to take. In the beginning, you take... You just say, okay, you know, yeah, no problem. I'll do it for this. I'll do it for that. Slowly, you know what you're worth, what's you and your worth. I mean, I know that my time, I give a lot for anyone I take photos for. It will be during the time. It will be if I need to be extra time. I will never say, oh, well, you know, it's an extra hour now. So, you know, if I take photos for someone, I do it. You know, what they want, I will give it to them. But I will make sure that I will give them the price that I think I'm worth in the beginning. So that way I will be okay with that as well.
So,
you know,
that's a big topic for, I think, all artists in any modalities that we're using, painters, all of it, photographers. So obviously you had a journey of maturity that you reached this level. Would you say that's like 5 years, 10 years?
I think... I think if I look back, I would say that yes, I'm much more mature today. Also, as a person, as myself, I grew up older, and I don't know if I'm wiser, but I'm more wise, if that's the way to say it, than I was like 10 years ago or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I know that in 10 years, I would look back at the point I am now and say, oh my God, you were so stupid. Like, wow, you thought you know stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I do know that I'm more aware today of what I like and not like, and what I love and not love. And I'm trying to put that also into my photography, basically, which is... one of the reasons why I put more time now into the street photography I do, because it's not about more time. A lot of in this exhibition, there will be photos from the past 8 years, not from the last year, because I always loved it. I always, as I told you in the beginning, I always loved walking the streets, but slowly I gained more interest in certain kind of situations and things. And I now I can actually approach strangers that look really interesting to me, which I couldn't do 8 years ago. I was really shy and afraid about it, and slowly I gained my confidence in that, and so my street photography changed a bit towards actually speaking to people that I take photos of, which is a whole series now that I have that will not really be in this exhibition, it might be in the other, but I have a whole series of street photos of people I speak to. And when I see the happiness sometimes that I create for a person, that I stop and say, hey, you are very interesting for me. Really, you look really cool. Can I take a photo? I'm a photographer. 95% of the people will stop for a second and say, oh, you know what? Why not? Yeah. And 80% will continue on speaking to me after I do the photos. And they're like, you know what? You made my day. I was like in a different place for a second, and then you stopped me, and then I took and then they enjoy the photos. A lot of them I send the photos to after, and some don't care. They say, just take, okay, bye bye, you know, I don't care really what's going to happen or not. But some say, yeah, this is my email, send it to me. And they're like, well, thank you very much, you know. I would say that would be my maturity in the street photography, in that point where I probably will change in the next 5 years also, because that's art. I think it changes with us as we grow. The art changes and grows and goes to different directions. But yes, in that sense, I would say that it changed in that place. And if you connect that to my professional work as well, when I say professional, that means like ordered jobs or something like that. It changes my photos as well, because I gain this different approach through street photography. So when I take photos for people, it actually it balances itself, because you know you just change the way you look also, and the connection you have. I always have easy connections with people. Like I can do it, but it just changes it. I don't know how to explain. Just it happens. So yeah.
So your exhibition that's coming up May 23rd, which just happens to be my birthday.
Yeah, it's a good plan, huh?
I knew
that there's something special, yeah. And that's it.
Exactly. I want this date. So how many pieces are you exhibiting this show?
It was 25. Now it's going to be 27, because I found some photos that I love. Suddenly, I don't know, I have a lot of street photos that I did, and like, okay, I decided on these, that's it. And I was like, oh, wait, I have that. Let's look at that. Oh, that's really nice. I need to put that in. It happened in the last few days, actually. And I need to make a decision now, soon, because I need to print it in the next week or so, and then have to frame it. So... But I decided, so it will probably be between 25 to 27. Maybe I'll take off a few, but I already have all the structure, so it will be really hard for me to take out what I decided. The additional photos I will show it to you after. It's something that I love. One of them is like a self-portrait of myself, but it's a really nice portrait that you don't see me, you just see my hands. And then in the middle, you just see a dog. Because he was looking at me from a car. Some person left his dog in the car to buy coffee, and I saw this white dog with like dark eyes looking at me, and I said, oh, so cute, taking a photo. But something happened in that photo that,
yeah,
I was like, wow, everything like connects to this, I love it. And so I will add that.
So these are obviously, this is a milestone show for you. Obviously these are all your greats that you love. But if I could be annoying and ask, do you have a number one favorite out of all this?
They're all my babies.
Yeah.
I have a feeling to each and every one of them. There's something about each and every one that I remember the moment. There's something about when I take a good photo that I love, I get shivers, basically. And even now when I'm talking about it, I say, oh, wow, when that happened, I was there. This happened in the corona when I was walking around. It was this one guy drinking coffee and everything is empty. And there is a line of light just directing towards his coffee and him. And I was like, wow, that's a good photo. And I took it and I was like, wow. Yeah, I remember the moment I took it and that's it. And like, I remember the feeling. For each photo, I remember the feeling. If there is a real one, Favorite?
What painting are you putting up front that everyone's going to walk into?
I have like, no, there's two huge, huge windows. Like it's a corner street with huge windows. So I have five photos that will go outside to the people.
Perfect. And so you don't have to choose.
I don't have
one.
To choose because I have problems choosing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a problem with my life throughout my life, basically. So finally, I don't need to really choose. I can just put, oh, okay, this. That's nice. Okay. But they... There's correlation between all of them. There's some sort of connection. So there's going to be a cat at front. There's going to be a lady screaming. But in a different... I don't know how to explain. There's going to be interesting photos. There's a guy saying everything will be okay, but you only see his hand. There's light only on his hand with like, okay. And you see his glasses, but the rest is shadow. And... it was just perfect. I remember when I took it, I was like, I walking the streets of Italy, like it was in Napoli. I need to do something. And I was hearing this noise, like knocking noise from a side street. I said, well, I wonder what's happening there. So I was walking. And then I see this old guy like hammering something. And he was really interesting looking. So I learned how to say, how can I take your photograph in Italian? I was walking around the streets. Can I take your photograph in Italian? Like walking around, telling it to people. And actually most people, again, as I said yes.
Yeah.
And I told it to him. He was like, yes, in a way. He said yes. He turned around and he did the okay. And I did a click right away. I said, wow, what is this? 1, 2, 3 clicks. And then he moved forwards to me because he was in the dark. He didn't understand that I'm like all excited about this photo. Oh my God, this is perfect. And then he moved. And then you see all his face and all his hand. And it was a good photo also, but it's not interesting for me. The one that was interesting is like, you see his background, you see his house. There's a light in the house. He's like he was in the first floor and there was a small like a patio. He was kind of standing in the door of the patio. There's light into the patio and there's light in his house and a window. So you can see his house, you can see the patio in a way, the window, and his hand saying, okay, a bit of his glasses. I said, my God, this is perfect. So that will be to the people outside to invite them to the exhibition, basically.
So I'm using in my imagination, you said window. So these are large...
These would be large prints.
Yeah.
These would be really big for the street because people walk there, so I can't make it small. So I wanted to grab their attention. I have another one of this lady I spoke to, Gypsy. That was in Spain, and she was like looking, and I was looking at her, and I went to her, and I sat next to her, and I started speaking to her as I could, like a bit translate, a bit this... And after a few minute conversation, I asked her, can I take a photo of you? And she said, okay. So I know I had like 1-2 seconds. I couldn't do this because I will disturb her after or something like that. And I got one photo of her looking at me and her cane and her hand is kind of like asking for something. I was like, whoa. And I showed it to her and I said, grazie. And that's it. I moved on. And it's another photo that will be like in front, big for people outside.
It's brilliant to hear you as an artist in that moment of capturing. And we're all looking for inspiration as artists. But for you, it's almost like catching a firefly. Like it's the moment, get in the jar, right?
It's, oh my God. It's that moment, the decisive moment, basically, which is known by Brosson. Like there is a decisive moment, especially in street photography, and actually forget about photography, there's decisive moments, any moment for each of our lives, for any time you go out and look around, there's going to be a moment for a lot of people around you, and there's many moments you just have to open your eyes and see. Now for a photographer who walks around with a camera, that is very like he, and I would suggest to any person, even if they're not a photographer, is like, you know, just grab a camera and look through the camera for a situation they want to find, and they will find these moments. There's moments always. And so for me, I know it's a moment when it happens. I just know when it happens. And then I can walk around for days saying, oh shit, it's bad. You know, it's like, oh my god, it's a bad day, I'm a bad photographer, nothing is happening, am I doing the right thing, maybe I should just stop this, you know, it's also a waste of time, what can I do with street photographer, I'll just go back to be this photographer, to paid photographer, I'm wasting my time walking streets, like, but I enjoy it also, but I, you know, like, self-pity, self kind of like, and then suddenly, oh, what is that? Oh, boom. My life is perfect. Everything is good. You know, yeah, it's good. You know, it can be like that sometimes. It just has to happen. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it doesn't. Like now I'm showing 25 or 27 photos.
Yeah.
But from the past 8 years, basically.
Ah, wow. It's.
But I have good photos, other good photos that I love, but not for this photography, not for this exhibition. It will... before a different one for, but that's already what I told you about me, where I started doing these portraits. So there's only one or two portraits here that I did that are really unique, that will connect to this general exhibition. But after, we'll see what will happen.
So amazing to hear, especially just you telling me that, you know, over the years your maturity and your skill level is now matched with your creativity level to translate that onto
print. Yes, it's true.
I do have something that comes to my mind only because I'm a painter. For a photographer, you're mentioning about printing and framing, and wow, that must be really expensive, especially large format.
Yes.
How does it work? Like, you've got to save up and...
You got to save money. Yeah. You have to have money aside and hope that people will buy your prints, basically. But there's many, many different ways to print stuff. Many different papers, many different ways to frame it. You know, the American frame, if you want to put it inside, what do you want to do? How do you want to show? It's a lot of thought that gone in. I decided to go with kind of a classic museum style, you know, with the perspective, the white.
Yes.
And a black frame.
Yeah.
But the frame will be... not thick wood, it will be thin black matte aluminium that will just give you a good feeling. I loved it. When I looked at it, I said, oh, it's chic, and it's a bit more modern, but it's also classic. So so when you see photography with photographs in museums, you always see it in almost the same way, unless you go to a pop-up photo art where they can do whatever they want, you know. Yeah. I like more the classic, but I love the aluminium black frame, and I found a really good frame person, whatever you call them, frame guy,
framer.
Who does frames for museums. So really? He's giving me a good price, but it's still expensive. Yes, and the print itself also. I'm doing it for the black and white. I'm doing a charcoal print, because first of all, it brings out all the levels of gray between the black and the white. You know, it's really good for my photos. It gives the contrast that I want, and it's not cheap. It's not cheap, but it shows what I want to show. So that's it. I mean, my decision is to show it as best as I can and hope for the best.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah, there are a lot of elements that support and wrap around your vision, right? Like,
yeah.
Expensive, but you need those to show it.
No other way, in my opinion. I mean, it's the only way. I mean, the photos I told you that I'm putting in front are the photos I wanted them to be big from, like, in my imagination. I wanted them to be big. They're inviting, but they're also a bit mysterious, and they're also a bit like, there's a lot of combination in these, let's five photos that I decided to be to the window outside to the people. It needs to be big. There's no other way. I mean, there can be a small print for it. I'm assuming that most people will not be able to buy the big print,
right?
Because not a lot of people have big houses. To have a big print is to put it in a big place, in a big space. You need to go a bit further away to look at it, you know. But I hope that people will say, okay, I love this, but can you print it 60 by 40 or something smaller, you know. I said, no problems, yeah. I will sell smaller prints also.
That's interesting. So, you know, with paintings, we do lithographs or something, but we usually limit those as so that it raises the value of income.
Yeah.
Would you, do you do that with
I'm going to limit them. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm definitely going to limit these photos.
Yeah.
Some numbers for certain kind of photos, whatever I decide. I already sold, actually. So I will put in the exhibition the numbers where it starts from. There's one photo that I know here that there is a demand for it. And so I will take out those, the demand is already there, like they want it. So I need to put these numbers already, and I need to show it in a higher number, because there's no other way. I can't number it number one, because I know for sure that there is 10 already going out here.
Right.
So the one that I sold, I will put number 02 to whatever I will decide. I will make the decision this week for the amount of limited prints that this will have, and hope, you know, that I will get to the limit. I hope so.
It's fascinating to hear, again, me as a painter, but we don't have this, right? We can do prints, but there's such a different world with photography going through this. So you've mentioned that you've photographed in different countries. How many countries have you, and what are they, you worked in?
Any place I've been to, but basically most of Europe. There's a lot of photos from Europe. There's photos from the States. Mm. From here, of course.
Yeah.
Mostly from there. There's mostly these areas.
So your website, rachamimdaniel.com, correct?
Or Daniela Khamim.
Yeah, the other route. I'll put it in the notes so we can look. Yeah. So some of these images that you're going to be exhibiting are on this site, right? Yeah.
But not all. Most, yes.
Yeah. Maybe you'll do a live broadcast that night on social media of your show.
It's possible. I invited a lot of, I wonder who's going to come or not. I hope a lot of people will come, but it's possible I will do it. I don't know yet what I will do. I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah, very amazing.
It's kind of like, oh my God, it's happening soon. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But if anyone would want, as well from my website, they can request a print. I will just, you know the number, the print I need to sell to them anyway, and they're all gonna get some sort of a certificate that I'll give the insurance of the number that they are getting.
Yeah,
and to know exactly what they have. Yeah. There's no other way. I mean, it's the only way you can do it.
Yeah,
I mean, it needs to be numbered by me.
Yeah. Right. But 10 years ago, printing was very different than it is today. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yes.
And the more that we move into the future, the better things get. The right digital cameras are amazing. I mean, if you used your iPhone, for example, to photograph.
I use anything I have.
Ah, right.
That I'm taking photos with to take a photo. I mean, one photo. I have a variety of cameras from a medium format, Pentax 6.9 to let's call it an iPhone, because it goes with me everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm also going always with camera with me. So I always walk around with a camera. There's a situation when I see, oh my God, this needs a wide lens. There's no time. I take a photo. Boom. Because on my Leica, for example, I only have a 50 millimeter. Now to change it, I'm walking the streets. I started once by walking with a lot, you know, but my back is not good, really. When you pass the 40 years old, it's a bit kind of like, okay, what am I going to do? So you decide. So I'm going with a 50 millimeter, which is the best lens for street, some would say, but also have a small 35 millimeter. The only problem with that is I sometimes also walk around with two cameras, one with 35, one with 50, but sometimes there's a photo which is happening and it needs to be wider than these two lenses. So I will take it with my camera, with my iPhone for sure. Yeah. But generally, it's different. I think any photo you take, it's the camera you have.
Mm,
right. You look at the composition, whatever you have, take it.
You're obviously an amazing storyteller, and I've seen a lot of your work and what you now I know the stories behind them, but even without that, I can tell you're sharing a story through just an image, and I get to make up my own mind about it.
Exactly.
And especially as you've curated, I think it's the cat, and then I think it's a woman's also sticking her tongue out. Like,
yeah.
And there's sort of a, I get it. It's you have some comedy in it. You have some real life things that you're
real
showing.
Real sad. I'm trying to do anything and contrasting, but not right next to each other. Sometimes to have a contrast photo to one of my photos, but in the other side of the room. The people will walk around, and then they'll see a photo, and they say, oh, no, I can connect it to the other one, but it's a bit different. So sometimes I do connect, and sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the children in the... I showed it to you maybe or not. I have children walking, looking at some photo in a museum with
no,
a teacher. It's
that.
One of it's the only photo in the exhibition, for example, that you talked about which cameras I use or not.
Yeah.
That was the story behind that one was that I was with my Leica and I saw this and there was not enough room to get what I wanted.
Mm.
I wanted to get the whole frame of the painting the kids are looking at and the kids as well, and I looked at the colors and the kids and the hair of the kids and the painting itself, everything correlated, and the kids were sitting exact box as the everything was perfect for me. What am I gonna do? I said, I'm taking out my iPhone, I'm putting it on RAW.
Mm-hmm.
You can do RAW photos there. That means that you get more information than the JPEG, so you can edit it a bit basically, and I took the photo and I said, oh, this is what I wanted. So that was the one photo in the whole exhibition. It will be from the iPhone, and it will be this one because I can't give up this photo. I love it. Those feelings I told you about.
Yeah.
I was there. I'm saying I'm going to miss it. There's only one situation because one of the kids will run away soon or something, and everybody's looking at the same way, exact same way I want. Everything is perfect. Oh my God. Boom. Now the way.
Amazing.
This is what I mean. Like, whatever you have at that moment, use it. Because
sure.
No, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's so, so amazing. So you told me that this show is going to be a month and a half long.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which is amazing. So if you could look back at yourself, and I love asking every artist this, today, back to Daniel when he was, you know, you were being creative when you were, I don't know what age, 15, doesn't matter. What would you say to that guy just starting out with photography?
Oh my God, everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Like, things will fall into place. You're a bit different than everyone else. Don't blame yourself for being different. Embrace it, because it makes you actually someone unique. Everybody is unique, yes. But again, as I told you, I was so stubborn against everything. I was such a nightmare for my mom. I never wanted to go to school. I never wanted to do things that people tell me to do.
Yeah.
And until today, actually, I'm very stubborn. People don't see it, but stick next to me a while and then you'll notice, oh, okay, he wants that. I understand. I go with the flow easily. I'm really open for everything. But generally, when it comes to something I want, I'm stubborn. And if someone tells me what to do, then I'm really stubborn. Like, okay, why did you tell me what to do? I want to do it this way, in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
kind of like that. But I will tell that kid, yeah, don't worry about it. You're different. You'll slowly find your path and way to be who you are. I wish I could do that, because that would take down like 10 years of like suffering and like, who am I? What am I going to do? Oh my God. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, could have saved all that time. But then I won't be who I am today.
Exactly, yeah. I think that's part of the journey, right? We have to grow through.
We grow through that, always. No other way.
So yeah. May 23rd in Brussels at the 84 Gallery. I'm hoping that I can come and visit and see your show. If not, I'm definitely going to be watching on the side.
Yeah.
I'm going to put your website in the notes so that our listeners can see all your work. I want to thank you so much for spending the morning with me.
It was perfect. By the way, the name is Studio 84. But
Studio 84. Oh, it's kind of like Studio 84.
Studio 84.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I love it.
But it's the number 84 street in that street, the Rue de Chambon or something. Yes.
Amazing. I'm going to Google that and see.
Yeah,
I think,
a link on that.
Yeah. It'll be nice to see. I wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes,
it was a pleasure.
Yes, thank you so much. And Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.